Before we talk about the Muslim hero who helped save all those children in San Diego, we need to look at the root cause, the what caused this tragedy and the people behind it. Listen carefully to this evil, irresponsible hate rhetoric.
How can you, tell me there are good Muslims?
It's time for many Muslims to leave this country.
Wake up, America. The enemy is inside the gates.
This is not a religion. It is a violent, barbaric, and ruthless ideology and form of government.
Islamic extremism is infiltrating the U.S. and refusing to assimilate.
With Somalia, their country is no good for a reason. We're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it.
Islam is largely alien to American history. It certainly didn't come into the United States on the Mayflower.
Hate speech was scrawled on one of the suspects' weapons.
A firearm contained writings about racial...
How can you tell me there are good Muslims? What are they saying? Muslims need to leave this country. You hear, wake up, America. The Muslim enemies at the gates. Muslims don't belong here. Dogs over Muslims. I mean, this type of language is extremely dangerous. And the root behind what just happened in San Diego at the mosque. And all these politicians, influencers, commentators, professional fearmongers, they're constantly spreading this irresponsible anti-Muslim, anti-Islam rhetoric. And they got innocent blood on their hands. You know, every single one of them played a role in what just happened, creating this climate of hatred, dehumanization. And that's what almost led to the unaliving of all those innocent children at the Islamic Center in San Diego, where if you listen to the imam from there, they're trying to attack this masjid now. These people coming up with all these conspiracies. You know, everyone is welcome, according to the imam. Everyone is welcome. Let's hear what he has to say.
It's a house of worship. It's not a battlefield. Come on, people come to the mosque to pray, to socialize, to celebrate, to enjoy their time together. Muslims and non-Muslims alike, everyone have been always welcomed. Our doors are always welcomed. We never ask people when they show up at the door of the Islamic Center, we never ask them whether you are a Muslim or not, who are you? Because everyone is welcomed. So let's do our best to spread this culture of love and tolerance and sympathy for the sake of this nation, for the sake of the future generation.
And in the middle of all that chaos stood a Muslim hero. Amin Abdullah means servant of God. This is a security guard.
Security guard made the best sacrifice, big one. Whenever he saw the people, he said, "There is somebody strange. Close the doors." Then they close the door. Otherwise, if he was going, we don't know what will happen with us innocent kids. They were kindergarten to third grade. But I missed all of them. I wish I was one of them to be murdered, because this is so great in front of the Creator. He defend because of the innocent people, both of them, all three of them.
A man whose quick actions help save all those children, you know, and protected the innocent lives of those little kids. But notice the double standards. It's very interesting. Always, whenever a criminal, you see that always this pattern happens. Is whenever a criminal, person can be mentally unstable, ill. Somehow, if they can connect him to a Muslim. I say he passed by a Muslim, had lunch at a restaurant with a Muslim. Somehow they connect him to Islam. The media will immediately start bringing up religion, Islam, nonstop. Muslim terrorists, Islamic extremists, radical Islam. I mean, just the list goes on. But when a Muslim now, like in this case, saves all these kids, you don't see them talking about Muslim next to his name. It's or Islam being part of his life. So this is very ironic, because suddenly the religion disappears from the conversations. So let's go ahead and say his name clearly. This is a Muslim American hero, Amin Abdullah. This means servant of God. And before he died, he left behind words that people need to hear. Let me read one of his posts that's going viral. Our brother Amin Abdullah said, may Allah grant him Jannah, what is success? He raises a question, what is success in his post? To many people, success is financial stability, good reputation, beauty, etc. As for me, he says, Wallahi, that means he's swearing by God, it is returning back to Allah, our Creator, with the same pure soul he loaned me at birth. Having the angels of Allah, the Creator, saying, don't fear and don't grieve, but receive the glad tidings of Jannah, paradise, which you were promised by the most forgiving, the most merciful. May Allah the Almighty grant us good. Those are the words of the Muslim American hero. Very powerful. And now what makes this even more disturbing, reports indicate that these terrorists had anti-Islam propaganda on them. And we have the independent journalist C.J. Wheelerman, columnist for Blind Times, reporting that. NBC confirms that San Diego mosque gunmen were inspired by Australian far-right terrorist Brenton Tarrant, who mass unallied 52 Muslims in Christchurch. This was in New Zealand, 2019. This is according to C.J. Wheelerman, independent journalist. So he says that they were inspired by this Brenton Tarrant. Now, who's he? This is a white supremacist Christian terrorist who massacred, and I say Christian because, he's Christian, but I think these are fake Christians. These are people who hide behind the religion. And we don't blame Christianity because of these lunatics, these evil people. So he was the one who unalive Muslims in a mosque. It was in New Zealand, 50 innocent human beings in the house of worship. This Brenton Tarrant himself, he was also playing these, I reported on this before, these nationalistic songs by Radovan Karadžić, these Chetniks. These are actually Orthodox Christians who did what they did to Muslims, unaliving them in the greatest genocides after World War II, which happened in Bosnia. And he was inspired, this Brenton was inspired by Andrew Breivik. He unalived over 70 people. This is in Norway. And this is that ideology that just keeps on resurfacing. It's just reproducing itself. Different faces, different countries. That's the same hatred. And many of these extremists, these radicals, they're behind by this twisted form of Christian nationalism, this while spreading this anti-Muslim propaganda day and night. This is the same type of rhetoric is pushed by figures like AKA Cokehead Tommy Robinson and others who are constantly demonizing Muslims as invaders, enemies, and threat to America and society. And just like this video clip right now that you saw with all these are the same faces. And eventually, unstable people absorb all this poison. This is poison. It's like these people did. They absorb all this poison, and then one day innocent people get unalive and children almost die, like just what happened right now. You know, families are destroyed, communities are traumatized, and afterwards the same people, you know, who helped spread this hatred pretend they had nothing to do with it. And they start spreading these, they start blaming the mosque, they start twisting the stories to poison the well. But no, words matter. Hate propaganda matters. Dehumanization matters. You know, and history has shown over and over where this road leads to. Human beings, good human beings, you know, anyone with a conscience needs to speak up against this hatred before more innocent human beings are unalived. You know, because this is no longer just politics, policy. This is radicalization. This is what happens when people are taught to fear and hate their neighbors every single day. And I want to end with this video letting you hear more from our brother Amin Abdullah, the Muslim American hero. Hopefully his words inspire those of us who are still alive and many even those who have this hatred, who've been misled, lied to, filled with hate, who've been radicalized with this fake news propaganda. You know, open your hearts, listen to him, this hero, listen to his words carefully, and may God Almighty guide you before this hatred destroys more innocent lives. Let's have a look.
My name is Brother Amin. I'm a revert to Islam. I was born and raised as a Christian throughout my childhood, and I really didn't understand the concept of the Trinity, but I hid that within my heart. But I was afraid if I asked the pastors or whatever, they would say, "How you dare you question this and that?" So I hid it. And Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is the one who knows the hearts. So he knew I had that secret all those years. And so after graduating in 1992, I got my first job. I met a Muslim guy who was new to Islam. But again, he was just learning about Islam. So he wasn't completely all authentic as far as what Islam entails. But nevertheless, we became friends. And he started talking about Islam. So the concept of Islam believing that there's only one God, one being responsible for everything, I was like, wow, this means so much. I don't have to hide anymore. You know, it makes so much sense. A person only has one boss, one CEO, so and so forth. So the human beings only have one creator. And that is what, you know, I was happy, intrigued me to learn more about Islam. As far as the reaction of my family when I took the Shahada and became a Muslim, well, I really, at that point in my life, I really wasn't hanging out as much. Again, graduated from high school, so, but I was kind of lazy, so to speak. You know, this and that, my mom was on my case, and rightfully so. So, after I took the Shahada, became a Muslim, my mother saw a change in me. Okay, I'm starting to help around the house, being more respectful, so on and so forth. I got a job. I bought a TV for her. So our relationship, you know, improved. So that was a good thing. However, you know, being a new Muslim, not knowing how to be able to portray Islam without disrespecting or offending my non-Muslim family members, we had a little bit of clash here and there. But nevertheless, we worked through it. So bottom line is, half of my family is not Muslim, half are not, and that's their choice. We still respect each other, so on and so forth. As far as my mother, again, we got closer, and one night she had a dream. And I told her, I said, you know, Mom, you should come to Islam. You know, this dream, what it's showing is, it's a warning from Allah, your creator, that he should be worshipped. You should come to Islam. And again, I wasn't forcing her, just a suggestion. And she said, you know what, I'm ready to take Shahada. So I gave her Shahada at that morning. And since she'd been Muslim until now, she'd been praying her five times Salat on time. She, you know, she gives da'wah. So alhamdulillah, Allah guides whom He wills. My journey to Islam has some little curves here and there. One of the things was, again, the friend, that Muslim guy that I met, we were dialoguing and we became friends. Again, working at the restaurant. And what happened was, in my heart, I knew Islam was the truth. It's just that I never really got over that hurdle of taking the Shahada, the declaration of faith. Again, I believed in my heart Islam was true. And the prohibitions of Allah, the Creator, I was supposed to stay away from them. But this situation, one time, I was the only cook in the kitchen. And so, you know, the devil, he's going to whisper to you, and he whispered in my ear, why don't you go ahead and make that sausage sandwich? Again, pork is forbidden in Islam, also in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, it says, do not eat the swine, do not even touch its carcass. And that, again, we as Muslims, we believe in the Torah, the Injil, the original text, so that is in confirmation what Islam says. So, that knowing that, I made a little burger bunny. And I was like, you know what? Nobody sees me. I'm the only one in the kitchen. Let me go into the walk-in freezer where we keep all the frozen items. Eat it real quick. Out of sight. You know. So basically, the one crime was I was stealing. And the two was I was eating forbidden food. So I figured no one sees me. But again, in my heart, I knew Islam was the truth. But I didn't take the Shahada. So I figured, okay, I can play games. But here's the thing. I went into the walk-in freezer. And I took a bite of the sandwich. Keep in mind, the environment is frozen. Everything is frozen. I took a bite, and for some miraculous reason, it started to get hotter in my mouth. And I'm like, what's going on here? It should be cold. So I said, well, you know what? Let me just swallow it. I tried to swallow it, and it became so hot, I was forced to spit it out. And here's the ajib thing. The strange thing was, I knew what all was about. Allah was saying, stop playing. You believe in me. I know your heart. You believe. Come to Islam. And shortly thereafter, I went to a Muslim store to get more Islamic literature, to pursue my knowledge of Islam. And when I went there, one brother was working there. He said, well, what do you know about Islam? I said, well, I believe Islam is the truth. There's only one creator, one being responsible for everything. He has no partners, no rivals, all this. He said, okay, well, why don't you become Muslim? And my sisters, two sisters were sitting there. They gave me a ride there, and they were watching me. And when he asked me, why don't you become Muslim? Not forceful, but as a suggestion. And Shaitan, the devil came and said, oh, you can't pray five times a day. You can't give up your pork. You can't give up drinking, drugs. You can't do it. Stop playing. But I said, you know what? Stop playing. I said the testimony of faith, the Shahada, and by the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that lies in between, the feeling I got, you cannot put into words. From the top of my head to my feet, I had a feeling which no drug, no beer can ever match. And this was called, in Arabic you say, you know, sakina, which is like tranquility, a heavenly peace over your soul. And again, so after experiencing that, alhamdulillah, I said, wow, I'm finally Muslim now. And the brothers who gave me shahada, he said, listen, don't go argue with the family. Just change your life. Be a better person. Help your mother. Take out the trash. Just show them that you change. And again, that was what led to my mother seeing a difference in me and her accepting Islam. So then I became a Muslim. My two sisters became Muslim and my mother. So that's where it is right now today. Half are Muslim, half are not. But may Allah guide the rest of them. You know, some people ask, well, how valuable is Islam to you? Well, put it like this. If I were to be offered the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would give you this. If you leave Islam, I would say never. By the permission of Allah, never will I give it up. Because you can have whatever worldly title you have, be it president, king, you name it. Have everything. Eventually, you're still going to have to die, as we all will die. So then the question arises, well, what happened when you die? How is that going to benefit you when you go into that dark rectangle in the ground called the grave? What's in there? What do you expect? What happens in there? So no, to give up Islam, absolutely not. Because there's a saying, they say, YOLO, you only live once. Well, in Islam, we say, YODO, you only die once. Once you have enjoyment in this world, enjoyment, when you die, you're going to be recompensed for whatever you did or did not do in this world. So the Ten Commandments, we as Muslims, we believe in that, we follow it. If you're a Christian, you know you're supposed to follow that as well. And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. This is the Almighty God, Allah speaking. So in Islam, we say Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. He's one, has no partners, no rivals, no children. He does not resemble his creation in any way. So stick to that. Inshallah, you'll find yourself happy in this life. Happy in the sense you may not be rich, but the heart will be happy. Khalif Umar, he said, if the kings of the world knew the peace we have within our heart by submitting to the one creator of the heavens and the earth, they would fight us just to get that peace out of our heart. So if you die with that peace, you've succeeded in this world. And you have nothing but good to look forward to in the grave, which is another life on its own, and then on their judgment for eternity. Obviously, every single human being were not perfect. We make mistakes. Whether you're a Muslim, born Muslim, a Muslim who converted to Islam, reverted, I should say, like I did, we all go through phases. Our iman goes up and it goes down. So that has to be recharged. Same way as you recharge your cell phone, what other device? You plug it in to get it rejuvenated. Likewise, for the youth, understand this. Sometimes you want to fit in, you want to kick it with the homies, you want to have a rep, and so on and so forth. But that's not going to benefit you anything. The real rep should be, what does my Lord think of me? the one who's going to call my soul back to him. What does he think of me? What does the angels think of me? On the day of judgment, do I want to be with those who were admitted into paradise for eternity, never to come out? Eternal retirement, so to speak? The real 401k, so to speak, that doesn't end? Or do you want to be amongst those who try to, you know, make a rep for yourself in this world by drinking and all these things, hanging out? It's not, at the end of the day, you still got to die. So it doesn't matter what you've done. Allah says, O my servant, O son of Adam, even if your sins were to pile up to the sky, to the heavens, and if you were to ask me to forgive you for what you did, he said, I will forgive you and I wouldn't care what you did. So that is a reminder for myself and all of those who have ears to hear. Don't matter what you've done, come back to your Creator before it's too late. It's never too late until it's too late. Well, what is too late? It's too late is when you see the angels to take your soul. If you haven't been obeying the Creator of the heavens and the earth at that time, then there's a problem. If you fail the SAT, so to speak, you can always come back next year. You can do over. You fail an examination for a promotion, you can always do again. But to fail the test of life, there's no do-overs. You get what you get. So make that turn, come back to your Creator, say, oh Allah, I apologize. I did not harm you in any way. I only harmed myself by disobeying you. But I know you are the one who loves to forgive. You won't benefit by forgiving me, neither will you benefit by punishing me. But you want me to succeed. Forgive me and put me into that paradise. Every single one of us have that option every day. We wake up another day to change, to make amends for what we did. Apologize to your Creator, come back to Him. To those who are non-Muslim, you owe it to yourself to ask, what is Islam? What's my purpose? Why was I created for? Don't let the media tell you what Islam is. No, you're smarter than that. Investigate. See, what were you created for? What does your Creator want from you? And go from there. Many people are coming to Islam because they understand now, you know what? I've tried the world. I've tried to fulfill my desires. And you're never going to be happy. If you got a mountain of gold, as the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, said, if a man has a mountain of gold, he want another one. If he had another, he want another one. So we're never going to fulfill our desires in this world. We were not created for this world. We were only created to be in the hereafter, paradise, where all of the desires will be fulfilled there. So use your time wisely. This life is short. Average person's lifespan, 60 to 70 years on average. Very few people go beyond that. But use your time to find out what your purpose is, to make sure that when you leave this world, you're in a place that you'll be happy, your soul will be at rest, and you will see the one that passed away that you never had a chance to say goodbye to for soul or so on and so forth. You can join them in a paradise that never ends. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be amongst those who are intelligent enough to submit, let our egos go, find out what our purpose is, and to submit, to accept it, whatever it is. Even if our friends are saying, don't do that, you be smart enough. You're the one that's going to be responsible to your Creator. Use your aql, your intellect. Many times, we go through situations where we figure no one is there, we can't relate to anyone, no one's listening, no one can help us. I will tell you, I went through some things where I'm alone, and I needed guidance. I needed help. I needed to communicate. So what did I do? I opened the Quran, which has the English translation in it. Also, the Quran was the Arabic part, but it also had the English translation. And the problem that I was facing at that time, I was inspired to just open the Quran randomly. You know, I just opened it where? And the miracle thing is, when I opened it randomly, it answered the question that was in my heart. Again, I was wondering, I made so many mistakes. What's my situation going to be with Allah? So I randomly opened the Quran, and the verse was close meaning, verily it is Allah, the one who accepts the repentance of His servants. I had to cry. It led me to cry in my car, because who else was around? Who else would know what I was feeling in my heart? The Quran is a living miracle. In the time of Moses, peace be upon him, one of the miracles was he opened the sea by the permission of Allah. So those who were there, they saw that miracle. But the Quran is a living miracle till the day of judgment. So when I just opened the Quran and it answered a question which I didn't speak with my mouth but with my heart, Allah answered it. It showed that Allah knew at that day, at that time, I would be going through that situation. And he inspired me to open the Quran randomly, so I think, but it wasn't random, it was by his plan. And it answered the question, and I had to submit. I repented to Allah, and I've been trying to do better all this time. So again, whatever you've done in the past, open the Quran, be sincere. Don't let the people tell you what the Quran is. Be smart. Open it for yourself. And I want to add on that, to backtrack once, before I actually took the Shahada, my journey to Islam, I want to mention this. Again, I wasn't a practicing Christian, but after I graduated, I said, you know what, God? I want to dedicate this night to you. I have my bed all prepared, get ready to go to bed. I would always get on my knees and say my prayers before I went to sleep. I was, to that extent, I was religious. I wasn't religious, but at least I say my prayer before I go to sleep. So I said, you know, God, I'm going to dedicate this night to you. I'm not going to sleep. And I did it. My bed was prepared. So I opened the Bible, and I started reading. And I came across where Jesus, peace be upon him, said, who will be my helpers in becoming the fishers of men? What does that mean? Those who are going to call the people to help him in his mission to call toward the creator of the heavens. And I felt in my heart, well, that's cool. I wish I could do something like that. And so Allah, again, he knew that feeling in my heart, and he blessed me to come to Islam. And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, whatever it may be. And a good way to invite people to Islam, to come back to their creator, and to make sure that they don't leave this world except as knowing that they have submitted to the one who created them. Because indeed, he will call us all back, and he will hold accountable for what we did or what we didn't do. So I want to first and foremost say Jazakallah khair, brother. May Allah reward you for taking this opportunity out of your busy schedule to have concern, to make this video, to put it out there, to reach whomever Allah Ta'ala allows it to reach. Just to understand, hey, this is what we should be doing. Do something beneficial for the next person. Let this be your legacy. When you pass away, perhaps this video may reach someone and they repent, come back to their creator, and then they become a better person. That will benefit you even when you're in your grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all the lives in between, to accept this and to whoever comes across the video, to inspire them to ask themselves, why were they created? What's the purpose of life? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who are sincere in our efforts, to make us leave this world in a way in which he'd be pleased with us. And we ask him to make our legacy that when we leave this world, people will recognize us, remember us, through the good that we've did. And if the Prophet comes close to meaning, you know, we are witnesses of amongst each other on the earth. So we ask Allah to bless us, accept this, and we ask Allah to bless all the humanity at large and guide us all to the truth. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.